Our next presenter is Dr. Anne Carpenter. Dr. Carpenter has received her DVM, MPH, and is a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Preventive Medicine. Dr. Carpenter is a veterinary medical officer at the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Dr. Carpenter will be discussing swine vesicular investigations and global FMD updates. Dr. Carpenter, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. So thank you all for the opportunity to present today. Thank you to Schick. I think this is an extremely important topic to review, and I will be reiterating some of the points that Dr. Diehl made in his presentation, but also presenting a little bit more on swine vesicular investigations, particularly over the last decade, and providing an update on the global FMD situation. So next slide, please. Okay, so as shared by Dr. Diehl, Seneca virus A, previously called Seneca Valley virus, is a disease of swine that causes vesicular lesions and is in the same viral family as foot and mouth disease or FMD. So, as mentioned previously, the disease was sort of retroactively identified back in the 1980s, but it was first identified from swine with vesicular lesions in 2007. We've seen a really significant increase in SVA since about 2016 domestically, and the disease primarily causes vesicular lesions on the snout or coronary bands and/or. And probably the key takeaway is that we can't distinguish between foot and mouth disease and SVA based on clinical presentation alone. So all swine vesicular lesions have to be tested to rule out foot and mouth disease. Next slide, please. Okay, so from a regulatory perspective, the presence of vesicular lesions in swine require mandatory reporting to either the APHIS Veterinary Services area veterinarian in charge or the state animal health official, who's going to be the state veterinarian. And that reporting has to be done by a USDA accredited veterinarian. And the requirement to report suspected foreign animal diseases is listed in the Code of Federal Regulations or CFR. And kind of an important distinction is that while USDA accredited veterinarians are required to report suspected cases of foreign animal diseases, such as swine with vesicles, all veterinarians are highly encouraged to report, but not accredited veterinarians are not required to report. So, next slide, please. Okay, so in this chart, we can see the number of swine vesicular investigations conducted by state and federal officials per year since 2015. And I believe the chart that Dr. Diehl showed in his previous presentation was all foreign animal diseases conducted, not necessarily those specific to swine. So 2022 and 2023, we've had a pretty significant highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreak. So the increase in investigations shared previously may be due to that. So these are just swine vesicular investigations over time. And we can see that pretty dramatic increase in the number of investigations conducted between about 2015, 2016, and then 2017. And then, just as of note, for 2026, the chart reflects the number of investigations that have been conducted so far this year. But probably the most important thing to note is that foot and mouth disease virus has not been detected in any of the investigations conducted. So while these are all swine vesicular investigations, none of them have returned non-negative samples for FMDV. Next slide, please. Thank you. So this chart shows the seasonality of swine vesicular investigations from 2015 to present, as again conducted by state and federal regulatory officials. So we see generally an increase in the number of investigations conducted during summer months. And I understand that one of our next presenters is going to dig a little bit deeper into the seasonality of the disease burden. So, next slide, please. When we look at the locations where swine vesicular investigations are conducted by these state and federal animal health officials, slaughter plants are definitely overrepresented compared to animal production sites. So, in particular, we see in a higher proportion of investigations at cull slaughter plants compared to market hog plants. And some potential contributing factors to this investigation distribution are an increased time in transit for call animals, increased stress from transit and potentially other existing health conditions that led to culling, increased potential for exposure to disease, potential for resorting of animals. So, in light of kind of the seasonality of the investigations and the location of the investigations that we're seeing, a few pending questions exist around, when the disease shows up, why it shows up, other than just stress, and effective actions to reduce triggers for vesicle emergence, right? Because a number of times when investigations are conducted at slaughter, and there's tracebacks done to the farm of origin, the animals will have been clinically normal on the farm of origin and present with vesicles by the time they arrive at the slaughter plant. So really looking for ways to sort of control the presence and emergence of disease at slaughter plants. Next slide, please. Okay, so when swine present with vesicles at slaughter, the USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service, or FSI's personnel, observe this directive, which is Directive 6000.1, and this requires the reporting of potential foreign animal diseases or general reportable conditions to APHIS personnel. So this is typically FSIS contacting the APHIS area veterinarian in charge. APHIS personnel then evaluate the situation, and a foreign animal disease diagnostician may or may not be dispatched to collect samples and complete an investigation. Sometimes we do get reports from FSIS. This is more common with market animals of vesicles, and it's really just general trauma, especially if the animals are more active. They have abrasions in areas that could be thought of as prime vesicle location, but they're not actually true vesicles. So, next slide, please. So, I wanted to make note of an excellent resource that's available for use in plant. And Pork Checkoff has laminated posters with really good pictures of clinical signs associated with foot and mouth disease. So, these are going to be very similar to what we would see with SVA. And these posters are really good resources for FSIS and plant personnel, especially just something to quickly cross-check, if they have animals presenting with what they think are vesicles. And the QR code on that slide links to the website where these are located. So, next slide, please. So, just to touch on swine vesicular investigation procedures, when swine vesicular detections are reported to APHIS or the state animal health official, a veterinary services guidance document or VSG is followed to ensure consistency in how the investigation is approached and how samples are collected, submitted, and tested. So, there's kind of a standardized process for how these foreign animal disease investigations take place. And from a very high level view, a foreign animal disease diagnostician or FADD will typically collect duplicate samples during the investigation. One set of those samples is going to be sent to the National Animal Health Laboratory Network lab or NALN lab that's approved to conduct FMD testing. The second set is going to be sent to APHIS's Foreign Animal Disease Diagnostic Lab or FADL for confirmatory testing. And as mentioned by Dr. Deal, the preferred sample types for this testing are going to be vesicular fluid, vesicular swabs, and vesicular tissue flaps. So really concentrating on that vesicle and getting fluid from the vesicle if possible, although really easier said than done. So at the laboratory, PCR-based diagnostics are going to be utilized to ensure rapid turnaround time for results. Next slide, please. So, there are currently 49 NALN laboratories approved to conduct FMD testing in the US, and the distribution of laboratories is provided on this map. So, typically, the one set of samples will be sent to whatever the closest NALN lab is to do the FMD testing prior to or concurrently to samples being tested at FADL. So, next slide, please. Again, as mentioned by Dr. Deal, we've seen an increased number of these swine vesicular investigations over the last decade. USDA has taken multiple actions to respond to the increase in these investigations over the last 10 years. In particular, we have an increased number of laboratories that are approved to conduct FMD testing. FMD testing used to solely be completed by FADL, but since 2015, 2016, non-laboratories have been approved to conduct FMD testing as well. And this is to ensure more rapid availability of results, as well as surge capacity if needed and if there's a really increased number of samples. We've also increased the number of available trained sample collectors to facilitate timely investigation and sample collection and submission. And this is really important because our sample collectors don't only collect for swine diseases, right? Like they are competing with HIPAATH and all of the other foreign animal disease investigations that are, being reported and being completed. So having those sample collectors available is really important. Just earlier this year, USDA streamlined investigation data entry requirements for state and federal personnel. This doesn't really have as much of an impact for our industry and academic partners, but it's an important step that we took at sort of the regulatory level to reduce some of the administrative burden associated with these investigations. And then finally, USDA has developed refined, minimally disruptive sample collection processes at slaughter establishments, understanding the burden of investigation on these establishments to help facilitate continuity of business while ensuring that investigation needs are met. So, next slide, please. So, now I'm going to switch over and talk a little bit about foot and mouth disease, or FMD, which is a lookalike for SVA. This presentation is a little bit of a bait and switch. It's about SVA, but I also had to throw in something about FMD because I would be remiss as a regulatory official to not mention something about a foreign animal disease. So, FMD is a highly contagious acute viral disease of domestic animals and wild cloven-hoofed animals. For those domestic animals, we're looking primarily at cattle, pigs, sheep, and goats, not horses, thankfully. And then the disease is characterized by the formation of vesicles and erosions, mostly on nose, muzzle, teats, and feet. So if we haven't gained or haven't figured this out by now, FMD is a foreign animal disease, so it is going to be reportable. And next slide, please. So this slide shows sort of a wide range of the susceptible species for FMD, but there are a number of wildlife species not included on this slide. For this presentation, we're really going to focus on swine, but it's just important to know that like if we did have an FMD detection, the response would span multiple species and commodities. So it would not be just the swine group working alone. Next slide, please. So there are two principal ways that animals can become infected with FMD virus, including inhalation, and next slide, please. Ingestion. So next slide as well, please. It's also possible for animals to become infected through contaminated instruments or, next slide, please. Artificial insemination or natural service. So that is, those are transmission routes, although a little bit less common than our inhalation and ingestion routes. So next slide, please. So while not as high of a risk for swine as other susceptible species, like sheep, animals may become infected with the FMD virus through abrasions as well. And next slide, please. So, please note that FMD is not a public health risk. Humans cannot become infected with the FMD virus, and it is different from hand, foot, and mouth disease. So, we are not going to get foot and mouth disease from a daycare, thankfully. Next slide, please. To touch a little bit on FMD history in the US, there have been 9 reported FMD outbreaks in the US, and the US has been historically free of foot and mouth disease since 1929. The US is recognized as free without vaccination by the World Organization for Animal Health, or WOA. Next slide, please. And when evaluating the global disease distribution for FMD, we'll see a map on the next slide, but FMD is considered endemic in many countries in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. There are areas that are considered and recognized as free without vaccination. And one group that I kind of wanted to draw attention to is EU FMD, which is a specialized commission for the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. And it's intended to assist member states with coordinated action against FMD, right? If you think about Europe and all of the countries and all of the borders, it's really important to have that coordinated action. And a map of the member states is included at the in the bottom of this slide. So next slide, please. Thank you. So here we can see a map of the global FMD distribution. Dark green is going to be the countries and zones that are recognized as free without vaccination. Light green is those that are recognized as free with vaccination. Red is where the FMD status has been suspended. And gray, if you the, for the gray countries, they don't have an official status for FMD. But if you look at other maps, these countries are conjectured to have sporadic or endemic FMD incursions. So next slide, please. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on FMD serotypes, but essentially there's multiple flavors or serotypes of the FMD virus, and these serotypes are typically found in certain geographic locations or pools around the world. Next slide, please. So this map depicts the global FMD virus pools. And again, the virus pools represent geographical areas where the viruses tend to circulate. And this is important. Over the last few years, we've seen an increasing number of trans-pool migrations of virus serotypes. so these movements may be linked to regional conflict, human migration, increased demand for animal protein, right? There's a variety of reasons that could cause these jumps out of the pools. And next slide, please. That brings us to recent disease expansion. So in the last year or so, Slovakia, Hungary, Germany, and Greece have all experienced FMD outbreaks. And these are highly notable since, as you can see, if you probably squint and look in that bottom right section of each green bar, you can see the date of last occurrence section for each country. So this is the last time that the countries had FMD prior to the most recent detection. All of these countries have been free of FMD since, for 30 plus years. And a number of them even longer, 40 plus. So the fact that we have a number of countries that have been free for so long and in the last year have had detections is very concerning. In particular, Greece had their first FMD detection just a couple of weeks ago, and it was the first FMD detection in 33 years. So lots has been changing on the global landscape in the last year, and it's something that we really need to keep our eyes on. Next slide, please. So here are a few news articles that I found about the FMD detections in these countries. And I think it's important that we realize that these, news articles aren't necessarily sensationalist. These are very consequential disease detections that have had really significant economic consequences for the countries involved. Next slide, please. Thank you. And this slide includes a quick summary of the recent European cases and what we know about them. A couple of the key takeaways from this slide are that the virus that was identified in Germany was different from the virus that was identified in both Hungary and Slovakia. So while Hungary and Slovakia are likely related outbreaks, the detection in Germany was probably a separate introduction. So I'm not aware of any additional details surrounding the source of introduction of virus into any of these countries. Last I heard, it was still unclear how the virus actually came in. So the situation in Greece is still unfolding. The FMD was just confirmed 10 days ago on a cattle operation. I believe there were sheep nearby, and it was on one of the Greek islands. Personally think that we should make a trip just to scope it out ourselves to the Greek islands, but that's my personal opinion. Next slide, please. So, in addition to seeing recent global FMD disease expansions, we've also seen recent changes in the distribution of disease. So, at the top of the slide, I've included a screenshot from the World Animal Health Information System, or WAHIS, which is the WOA Disease Notification System, to highlight some of the recently reported changes in global SAT1 distribution. So, these distribution changes are important because we need to pay attention to virus movement outside of pools, right? So these virus movements outside of pools raise questions about what happened to cause these movements. You know, is this because of the transport of animals, the transport of products, a breakdown in the FMD status of our trading partners? And understanding what happened to cause these movements can help inform us of the risks of disease spread and subsequently mitigate these risks. So, really, the key takeaways are that there's a constantly changing global disease distribution for FMD, and it requires constant vigilance about the potential for FMD introduction, right? I don't think anybody in Hungary, Slovakia, Germany, or Greece expected to get FMD last year or this year. And, you know, we can't be in the same boat, or we can't be in the boat where we are expecting that we will never get it. So, because of this, we can't automatically assume that vesicles in swine equal SVA. There are a number of swine vesicular diseases, and they are not all SVA. So, next slide, please. So, just a couple slides about why we're so worried about FMD and the potential impact of FMD in the US. So, FMD is highly contagious and, as mentioned earlier, has a really broad host range, right? It wouldn't only be swine affected in the US, it would likely be other animals as well. FMD virus can survive on fomites like boots and vehicles, as well as in animal products like meat and milk. The virus has a low infectious dose, and infected animals shed a very large viral load, which is a pretty bad combination. We can also see airborne transmission of the virus and shedding of the virus prior to onset of clinical signs, which can facilitate rapid viral spread. So, all of these factors really highlight the importance of rapid reporting and rapid testing. You know, if we do have a detection of FMD, having quick identification, quick diagnostics, quick reporting, quick diagnostics, and quick identification can allow for control measures to be implemented more rapidly and likely limit the disease expansion to sort of facilitate control efforts and minimize the size of a potential outbreak. So that's sort of boiled down why it's so important. And next slide, please. So, finally, here are a few of the potential impacts of FMD in the US. A detection of FMD virus in the US would really mean significant consequences, right? Potential culling, public outrage, mental health concerns, but really, really significant economic implications as well. We would expect to see pretty sizable market disruptions as export markets are restricted. And it's really not something that would be overcome immediately, right? Like, we can't expect to have an FMD detection one day and be back to business as usual the next day, or even the next month, or further down the road. So, really significant and really long-term consequences from an FMD detection in the US. And next slide, please. That's all I have for everyone. I do have a link via the QR code to the APHIS FMD website. And I have our team inbox here. So if you all have any questions, we would be happy to answer them. Feel free to reach out at any time. And again, thank you to Schick for the opportunity to present today. And I will hand it over for the next panelist. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Carpenter. We appreciate your time.